Hello, this is Pastor Travis from Unity Church Magnolia. We want to thank you for joining us today for this week's podcast. We pray that it will encourage you and strengthen you for your journey with Christ. We hope to see you soon. God bless you as you listen.
So is it good to be in God's house? Amen. We're going to continue our series tonight on atmosphere. Somebody say atmosphere. And so I hope you've enjoyed this as much as I've enjoyed preaching it. This past Sunday, we talked about atmosphere as we continued with part two. And our key scripture is found in 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 10 through 11. It says, "When the priest came out of the holy place, a thick cloud filled the temple of the Lord. And the priests could not continue their services because of the cloud, for the glorious presence of the Lord filled the temple of the Lord." Father, we thank you for this day. God, I pray that you speak to every heart. And God, that you change every lives, God. And we truly do ask tonight that you help us to crave and to create and to maintain an atmosphere of your glory in our lives. We give you praise for that in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. So to recap from week one, I do want to make mention that the glory that we're talking about is simply the manifest presence of the Lord, that tangible presence, something tangible you can actually see, feel, touch, sense with your natural senses, the presence of God. We know that God is everywhere. He's everywhere at once, but we want the manifest presence of God. How many of you have ever truly felt the presence of God in your life? Like in a tangible way, you felt it. You knew, you could sense that God's presence was around you. And so we know that the cloud represented the glory of God, and the glory of the Lord is found in the holy place. Actually, I've been kind of misstating this some. It is found in the most holy place, and that is found within us because in New Testament, New Covenant, we know that the body, God doesn't dwell in man-made buildings like this church building. God doesn't dwell in this church building in a sense. He dwells inside of us. And whenever we come into the church building, we bring the presence of God with us. Amen? And so because it says where two or three are gathered, he's in our midst. You know, I'm not the guy that thinks that the presence of God hangs out in the empty building waiting for us to come in. I think that we bring the presence of God in with us whenever we step foot in here, because our bodies, the Bible teaches us, is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Somebody say, I'm the temple of the Holy Spirit. And so we bring the presence of God with us when we come to church. That's why it's important. I don't think I've mentioned this yet, but that's one of the reasons it's so important for us to come to church. Because a lot of times we think coming to church is just for me, but really you're bringing the Holy Spirit with you, and that Holy Spirit can minister to somebody else. And so whenever we miss church, whenever we skip church, we're not only hurting ourselves, but we're also hurting somebody else. Because you are the temple of the Holy Spirit, and you bring giftings and callings and anointings to the table every time you enter this place and are together with the saints. You are bringing the manifest presence of God with you. And so what we want to do is we want to learn how to maintain an atmosphere of the glory of God. We want to learn how to maintain that atmosphere. We don't want to tap into the atmosphere of God and the presence of God and the feeling of God being around us just on Sunday mornings and maybe Wednesday nights. We want to be able to maintain that atmosphere everywhere we go. Can somebody say amen? How many of you would love for your workplace to be transformed by the presence of God? I know that's what we pray for our kids about the school. We want their school to be transformed by the presence of God. But if the saints are not succeeding in maintaining the atmosphere of God's presence in their life, then when they step foot on campus or in the workplace or on the job, nobody even knows you've been with the Lord, then we've got a problem, right? And we can't expect change We cannot expect change in our circumstances, in our environment, if we are not maintaining the atmosphere of God's presence in our life. So we do that. We talked first about the people that we are around affects the atmosphere. We talked about how negative people creates a negative atmosphere. Positive people create positive atmosphere. But it's not enough to just be positive. But if you're a positive and you're in the presence of God and you surround yourself with people who are positive and they're in the presence of God, then now you are maintaining an atmosphere of God's glory in your life. So choosing the right people to spend your time with is so important. Also, Sunday we talked about maintaining an atmosphere of prayer. And so God wants us to maintain a stable and productive prayer life. And by doing that, we will maintain an atmosphere of His glory. And tonight we're going to talk about praise. Somebody say praise. So positioning yourself with praise is how we begin to access that glory of God, that manifest presence of God. We position ourselves with praise. So Psalm 22:3 says this: "Yet you are holy, enthroned on the praises of Israel." This is where we get the phrase that we use all the time, that God inhabits the praises of His people. That is a phrase that we have developed from this scripture. God inhabits the praises of His people. And you've heard me say this from time to time. What that really means, this scripture means, is that God sets up His throne on the praises of His people. And so if we can learn how to position ourselves with praise, and we begin to learn to maintain an atmosphere of praise in our life, then God will set up His throne right in the middle of our circumstance and situation, because we have laid a foundation of praise. God sets up His throne on a foundation of praise. And so this is the way we invite God into our circumstances, our situations, our workplaces, our families, our homes, and our churches, is by maintaining an atmosphere of praise and positioning ourselves with praise. And so what we want is we want the atmosphere of our lives to be filled with the presence of God. How many of you would say that tonight? I want the atmosphere of my life to be not just touched by the presence of God, not just visited by the presence of God, but I want the atmosphere of my life to be filled with the presence of God. And so we just moved into a new house, and we're really enjoying being there. But the other night we had some friends over, kind of unexpectedly, and so while they were there, we said, hey, let's just pray over this house, because many times before people have come to our house and they've said, man, it just feels different here. You can feel peace, the peace of God here. I know other people in the church, you can go to their houses and you just feel that peace in their home. And we want our home to be known as a place of peace, and where people can come and find rest, and where people can come and find hope and help. And different things, and safety. And so we just prayed over the house, and one of the things we prayed is, God, we want You to fill this place with a tangible presence of God, where people come in, they feel something different. It's the same thing we pray for this church. We want, when visitors to walk in, it just feels different. It feels different. I think it's a shame that many of our churches, people go there and they visit and they feel tension. I mean, knows that shouldn't be. And, you know, I spoke with someone who owns a business here in Magnolia, and they went and visited a church where they had grown up in that church, but they had been out for a little while, and they went and visited that church, and they said there was so much fighting amongst the people when they were there about just decisions they were making, and he said it was stuff that didn't even matter, you know. That he said, I walked out the doors and he said, I will never step foot in another church again. That was his response to me. And he was telling me, he's like, no offense, but I'm never going to step foot in a church again. And I think that's a shame that we have created in many of our churches an atmosphere that people don't want to be a part of, right? But we want, and what we desire, is for God's presence to so fill our lives that people around us can just tell that there's something different about us. Just like the disciples who walked with Jesus, talked with Jesus, slept where Jesus slept, ate where Jesus ate, right? They spent time with Jesus. Whenever Jesus was being tried and being prepared for crucifixion, people would see the disciples and they knew that Peter was a follower of Christ because they said this, he even talks like one of them, right? And so people should be able to notice a difference in our lives. But the way we do that is we began to create an atmosphere of praise. So God establishes, listen to this, God establishes authority over your circumstances when you fill the atmosphere with praise. God establishes authority over your circumstance. It says he is enthroned on the praises of Israel or his people, right? God is enthroned. And whenever he is, wherever he is enthroned, he is in authority. And so the way we invite God to take authority over our circumstances is we begin to praise him. How many wants God to be an authority over your circumstances? I don't know about you, but I do. Whenever I don't know what to do, I want him to be in control, right? Even when I think I've got it all figured out, I want him to be in control because he knows better than I do, right? And so we're saying, God, I want you to be enthroned in every circumstance and in every season, the good ones and the bad ones. I want you to be enthroned. And so the way we do that is we establish and we maintain an atmosphere of praise. Listen, praise, I know we talk about it a lot, but it's powerful. And it truly lays a foundation for God to become in charge. And we used to sing a song in church all the time that just talked about God being in control, right? And it said it over and over, you are in control, right? And that's what we want is for God to be in control of every circumstance, every season in our life. And the way he becomes enthroned over that circumstance is we lay the foundation with praise. Can somebody say amen? I want him to be in charge. So let's look at this. The great thing is, if God is in charge of a circumstance, he's always going to get the victory. Right? I'm convinced whenever we fail, whenever we experience failure, it's because we failed to put him in charge. Because God doesn't lose. Pastor, you're preaching good tonight, so good, I don't know what to say. Right? God doesn't lose. Right? God is a winner, and we are destined to be winners with him. But in order to do so, we've got to make sure that we're giving him control. The way we do that is with praise. So let's look at some battles that were won with praise. And the first one I want to use, it's one I use many times, is from 2 Chronicles 20. Verse 22, I believe. And this is where Judah wins a battle where three armies have come against them. Not just one army. Three nations have come against. You can go to that scripture. And you can see here three armies. The Ammonites, the Moabites, and the nation of Seir have come against the nation of Judah, and they have surrounded them, and it seems to be impossible. But it was when the people began to raise their voice and began to praise the Lord that it says that God sent ambushments to surround them and to destroy them, and they were smitten, right? And so we have to understand that praises have power. Can somebody say amen? And so what God is saying is he's saying your situation may seem to be impossible. Your circumstance may seem to be overwhelming. Does anybody ever feel overwhelmed? Right? And so it may seem like that. And it may seem like that the whole world is turned against you, or that there's nobody for you. But whenever we began to praise God, even in the midst of those times, and we began to say, God, I don't know what's going on, but I do know that you are the creator of the universe. And you set this world into motion, and you created me. And the word says that you knew me before I was ever even in my mother's womb. You knew me and you had a plan for my life. Therefore, you are in control and you are God and you are bigger than all of this and you are capable to see me through this. Can somebody say amen? And we began to praise God and acknowledge who he is. Then that establishes a foundation for God to set up his throne to begin to take control of the circumstance, right? So this was a dire circumstance for the nation of Judah, but God came in and he took control, and all three nations were destroyed supernaturally simply by believing God and lifting up their voice in praise. Now, why would God include stories like this in the Word if it was not for our benefit? I believe that many times we need to break through all the emotions and just begin to praise him. Can somebody say amen? The second one we want to look at is Isaiah, verse 30, 29, and we're going to read through 32. And this is when Assyria is defeated. Starting in verse 29, it says, but the people of God will sing a song of joy, like the songs at the holy festivals. Now, this is one of the reasons that I'm very careful about the music that I listen to, right? You know, if I'm listening to music about all my exes who live in Texas, right? And how my dog doesn't even love me anymore, you know, nobody likes me, nobody cares, you know, yeah, you know, I'm all alone, no one beside me, right? And we start to fill our minds with these thoughts, then we begin to come into agreement with them when we begin to sing them. So now we're not only hearing it, now we're declaring it. Because your words, somebody say, words have power. We had a great men's Bible study, and Jim Mack was speaking on that some this morning. Our words truly have power, and so we've got to be careful about what we're listening to, what we're coming into agreement with. And I was so proud of my kids the other day. They love Christian rap music, man. They love it. And I'm like, I don't even know what these people are saying, you know. And if I can get into some of the slow ones, right? I can get into some of the slow ones. But some of the stuff, I'm like, man, you got to look up the lyrics and show me what they're saying, because I want to know what they're saying, right? But there's a Christian rapper, his name's KB, and our kids were really enjoying his music and listening to him. And Kelsey got this idea the other day. She said, you know, it seems like all of his songs are sad. And, you know, you don't think about it because the music is upbeat and all that. But she said, I think all the words to the songs are sad. So she went and looked it up and found out that even though he's a Christian rapper on a Christian label, he said that he does not even consider himself to be a Christian rapper. And that he sings about whatever he wants to sing, and it's certainly not about God. And so, but they have put him on a Christian label because probably he couldn't get on any other label, just to be honest. And I got in the car and they have a playlist, and I'm just thankful they're listening to Christian music, right? So I'm like, even if it's rap, we're listening to Christian stuff. And one of his songs came on, And Kelsey said, Dad, we don't listen to that anymore. And I said, what? And she said, we don't listen to that anymore. He says he's not a Christian rapper. Even if he's on a Christian label, we don't listen to him because he said he's not a Christian rapper. And all his songs are sad, and we don't listen to that anymore. And then she goes on to tell me the story of why. And so I was so proud that my kids made that decision on their own. And they asked me to delete him from their playlist. And I'm just praising God, right? Now, there's other Christian rappers they listen to that have good godly words and stuff like that, and good messages and things. And hey, I'm happy, man. They're just listening to things that are uplifting. But this says that it's when we began to lift up our voice and sing songs of joy, like the songs at the holy festivals. We need to be singing songs and listening to music and things like that are going to build us up and encourage us in our faith and celebrate the goodness of God. It says, like the songs at the holy festivals, you will be filled with joy. How many of you know the enemy knows what he's doing? The enemy knows how to take what God designed as good, music, and twist it and manipulate it so that it can accomplish his will on earth. And so the enemy knows the kind of sounds that create emotional stimulation to cause us to be down and depressed and defeated. And if he can get to us through music, he will do that. And so God, the enemy will take what God meant for good and turn it for your harm if you will allow him to. But God wants us to listen to things and to sing things and use songs of praise to build us up and to cause us to be filled with joy. This is in the midst of a dire circumstance for God's people that he's saying, but the people of God will sing a song of joy like the songs at the holy festivals. You will be filled with joy as when a flutist leads a group of pilgrims to Jerusalem. Now, I don't get too excited about flutes myself, but apparently they did back then. The mountain of the Lord, the rock of Israel. This is what God said. Hey, this is how in Assyria, understand, is known as an earthly enemy, but it is also used as a type in the Old Testament of what it's going to be like when God destroys evil for the very last time. And so we have to see the types and the similarities in this story. It says, and the Lord will make his majestic voice heard. He will display the strength of his mighty arm. It will descend with devouring flames, with cloudburst, thunderstorms, and huge hailstorms. And at the Lord's command, the Assyrians will be shattered, and he will strike them down with his royal scepter. In verse 32 it says, and as the Lord strikes them with his rod of punishment, his people will celebrate with tambourines and harps, lifting his mighty arm. He will fight the Assyrians. When does God step in and intervene for his people? It's whenever they began to lift up songs of joy to the Lord. God, it may seem hopeless, but if I can just lift up songs of joy. We used to sing a song in the church all the time. It was called the Happy Song. Not the happy song that we have nowadays, not that. There's a new happy song. It's the old happy song, right? And so, and man, people, I remember, you know, that's the olden days, I know, but man, people would get out of their seats and they get excited about the Lord and dance their weave out. And, you know, I mean, it was fun. It was fun. It's called the happy song. And people got happy. But then we sang it so much that the happy song, we started calling it the sad song because we were just tired of it, right? And so, but God wants us to be happy. Do you really believe that God wants you to be happy? Sometimes I think Christians think it's a sin to be happy. Well, you know, I'm just too nervous. I don't want to get too excited about this. or I don't want to be, you know. No, God wants us to be happy, and God wants us to lift up songs of joy to Him. I used to love it. I used to love it when, and I know she might not agree with this, but when my mom would walk around singing to the Lord. She would walk around the house singing to the Lord. And sometimes she would sing songs like, "Oh, Lord, deliver me from these boys," right? But she would go around singing to the Lord. And I remember when I was little, we would be in the car. Now, we don't do this with our kids, okay? But it was different back then. Not smarter, but it was just different. And so she would sing, and she would let me turn around on the seat. You remember this? and beat on the seat like drums, right? And so I'd play the drums on the seat. I'd play the drums on the seat while she would sing songs of praise to the Lord. And that's how I got started in ministry, right? By my mom singing praise songs to the Lord in the car. And God started to stir that up within me. As a little boy, we used to have these really nice looking books that were in the backs of, we didn't have seats back then either. It was in the backs of pews. Y'all remember that? And called hymn books. I know. And in the Assembly of God church, we had hymn book and we had a course book. And so we had both. And so they had to tell you which book you were reading out of. And so so I figured this out. Each book sounded different when you hit it. Right? And so like the hymn book was thick, so it sounded like thunk, right? And the course book was thin, and so it sounded like cat. And so I learned that during worship, I could hit the hymn book and the course book, and it sounded a lot like drums, right? And so, boy, I'd be going to town on my hymn book and course book, and my parents would get on to me, "Stop it. That's the Lord's books, don't you know?" Right? And no, I'm just kidding. They would get on to me. And I remember, what was the lady's name? Sister Brummett or Juckett? Sister Juckett turned around one day. I remember the night when she turned around and she said, "Stop getting on to him. One day he's going to play the drums for the Lord." And who would have known that I didn't start off playing keyboard. I started off playing drums for the Lord. And what that lady spoke over me came true, but it was because I learned at an early age to appreciate songs of joy. I love to worship, and I love to praise, and I learned at an early age that really things do change whenever you begin to set up a foundation of praise in your life. And I will tell you that simple worship songs have gotten me through the hardest seasons of my life. Simple worship songs have gotten me through those hardest seasons. Sometimes I couldn't even think of a worship song, and just declaring the goodness of God has gotten me through some of the hardest seasons of my life. Because and really now, I've had bits and pieces of this word before, but now I truly understand that when you do that, God sets up His throne, which I've known that, but I never really thought about how that makes Him in charge. Whatever He sets up His throne on makes Him in charge. And now we have an atmosphere of His glory reigning, R-E-I-G-N-I-N-G, reigning over your circumstance, your situation, and your lives. How many wants that for your life tonight? I want God to reign over my life. I want God to rule over my life. I want God to be in control of every season, every circumstance, every area of my life. I want God to be in control. I'm convinced of this. I believe that sometimes we struggle to get free from things in our life. We struggle to find freedom in our life. And the only reason, possibly the only reason that we haven't gotten free from something is because we have not given God control over it. But we don't give God control just by saying, "God, take control." We give God control and lordship of those areas of our life whenever we begin to praise God through it. God, I'm struggling right now, and I don't understand. I keep falling over and over again, but I declare that you are good in my life and that you are able to free me and that you are able to deliver me just like you did. I love almost all the times of praise in the Word. People are reminding God of what he did for their ancestors. God, you freed the Israelites from Egypt. You free, and I really believe that sometimes whenever we haven't received our healing, when we haven't received our freedom and our deliverance and things like that, is because we have not given God lordship over that. And we do that with praise. Can somebody say amen? All right. So he gave Judah the victory over three armies. Assyria is defeated when the people began to praise the Lord, and Judges, hey, when I read that, it said people are going to break out the tambourines. Man, I almost went and found me a tambourine the other day. And then I remember what happens when people start shaking tambourines, and I decided not to. Okay. But, all right, Judges chapter 7. Who knows? I may get me one. Gideon defeats the Midianites. Right? Y'all remember this story. Gideon's army is vastly outnumbered. This is in closing. Gideon's army, vastly outnumbered. And God instructs Gideon to break pots and make noise and to blow trumpets, right? Didn't they have trumpets? I'm trying to remember. And just praise, make a joyful noise to the Lord is really what it was. And the people of God shouted, "For the sword of the Lord and Gideon." And it threw the Midianites in such chaos that God gave his people victory. Vastly outnumbered. And God gave them victory just by lifting up their voice and making a joyful noise to the Lord. 2 Chronicles 5:11 through 13 says this. Then the priest, now listen, this is back to the holy place, the holy place in our heart and in our life. The glory of the Lord filled the temple. This is another account of this in 2 Chronicles 5:11 through 13. It says, then the priest left the holy place. All the priests who were present had purified themselves, whether or not they were on duty that day or not. And in verse 12, it says, and the Levites, who were the worshipers, the musicians, Asaph, Haman, however you say that guy's name, Jeduthun, I don't know, and all their sons and brothers were dressed in fine linen robes and stood at the east side of the altar. Listen, playing cymbals, lyres, and harps. They were joined by 120 priests who were playing trumpets. Now think about this noise. We think it's loud here. You put 120 trumpets up here, right? And cymbals and like Matt had never played a cymbal like that, I can guarantee you. I'm always telling Matt, you can play a little louder. You can play a little louder. Okay. No, you didn't change. You can play a little louder. And, man, it was loud. It was loud. All these people singing and playing instruments and clanging cymbals and all of these things. And in verse 13 it says, the trumpeters and the singers performed together in unison to praise and give thanks to the Lord. The trumpeters and the singers came into one accord in unison to praise and give thanks to the Lord. Accompanied by the trumpets, the cymbals, and other instruments, they raised their voices and praised the Lord with these words, "He is good. His faithful love endures forever." And at that moment, a thick cloud filled the temple of the Lord. Guys, I want this place to be known for the presence of the Lord, to be so thick in here that when people who need healing, they walk in that doors and the presence of God touches them and their life is healed. When people need to be freed from drugs and alcohol, listen, we don't turn those people away. We draw them in because we want them to forever be changed in the presence of God. And so not changed by us and our ways and our thinking, changed by the presence of God. But the way that happens is whenever we join in unison and we lift up our voice and we praise the Lord. There are moments in service where God visits us with His manifest glory, and it is when the people, when you guys, because we're up here worshiping, when you guys become in unison with us and you begin to lift up your voice. You have to understand, we are simply worship leaders. That means we're leading you to worship. And so here's what happens in church many times, though, is we come in and we're tired. We've done a lot today. Or you know, we fished all weekend and now we're tired. Or Tim, we're about to go fishing. And we're wondering where we're going to go. Or hunting, or whatever we do, I don't know. We come in with all this stuff on our mind, and worship just kind of slips by us, and we haven't joined in unison, worshiping God for His goodness. And it's when the people of God came in unison, in one accord, began to lift up their voice and worship the Lord, that the glory of God's presence filled that place. And that's what we're looking for. Can somebody say amen? Not just here. That's what we want our life to be like. We want our life to be filled with the presence of the Lord. Would you stand with me tonight? I'm just going to pray over you tonight. And then if you need to spend some time in the altars, then you are free to do that as well. But we're going to pray, and then we're just going to raise our hands or wherever you are, and we're just going to begin to worship the Lord in unison together with one heart and one focus, just declaring the goodness of God. And I want that to become the habit, man. Every time we come in this place, I want to lift up the name of Jesus. I want us to push past all the circumstances, all the mess of this world and the things of the day, and I want us to press through, and I want us to lift up the Lord in unison. Father, I pray for us tonight. God, I'm not preaching at people. I'm preaching to us, God, tonight, Your word. And God, I pray that we will be faithful to lift up Your name, God, in every circumstance, in every situation, God, that we will establish Your foundation to set up Your throne, God, by praising You for how good You are, even in the midst of hardship, God, on good days, bad days, all the in-between days, God, we ask that You help us to establish a foundation where You can be Lord over our lives. God, help us to be people of praise. Every time we come in this building, God, I pray that we'll be faithful to lift You up in praise. God, that we will join in unison to lift up the name of Jesus in this place. God, help us to be people of praise. Help us to guard our ears, what we hear. Guard what comes out of our mouth. God, and that we'll be careful to lift up Your name in praise. In the name of Jesus, everybody said, amen. Now, would you just lift up your hands and your voice right now and just declare, all you got to do is just tell Him how good He is right now. Come on. God, You are good. You are faithful. God, You are just and true. God, we declare that You are Lord over our lives. God, we declare that You are Lord over this place. You are the creator of the universe. God, You are the God of all comfort and the God of all peace, God. And You are the God who is in control. And we declare that You are good. You're good. All the time, You are good. All the time, You are good. All the time, You are good. You're good, Jesus. Can you just sing that? You are good, good, You are good, good. Oh, you are good, good. Whoa, you are good, good. Whoa, you're never gonna let, never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, never gonna let me down. You are good, good. Oh, we declare tonight that you are good in our lives, in every season. You are good in every circumstance. You are good in every moment. You are good in the name of Jesus. Everybody said, amen. Can you give him praise tonight? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God bless you. If you need prayer tonight or if you need to spend some time in prayer, feel free to do that.
Hey, thanks again for joining us for this week's podcast. If you were blessed by the message today, please join us by visiting us at ucmagnolia.com. You can see what's going on, you can give online, and you can be a part of what God's doing at Unity Church Magnolia. God bless you, and we hope to see you soon.